book of Mark. Granted, we didn't cover every single verse because some of the passages have been preached fairly recently, so I didn't do them again. And then we also preached the end of the book of Mark before we got to the middle. But we're going to reach the end today. We started Mark back in March of 2019, so we've been at it for over a year. And I just want to say that it took Jesus 3 years to live the book of Mark. Took us about a third of that to go through it. So as has been true in the past couple of messages, because we're dealing with the end times here, there are going to be lots of varying interpretations of the verses that we will be reading. What we're going to be reading today says after the tribulation. But remember that there are those who think that we are in the middle of the tribulation right now, that we have been ever since Jesus ascended. There are those who think all kinds of different things. But I do know this. The tribulations that we've gone through in the last 2.5 months or so really will be nothing compared to the actual tribulation. We're going to look at today's passage in two different chunks. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 13, and we're going to start in verses 24 through 27, and then later I'll read the second section, which is Mark verses 28 through 37. And the title of the message is Ready or Not, and we're going to be looking at being ready, as we have been for the last couple of weeks. This is Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 27. Let me read that. These are the words of Jesus. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you once again for the beauty of this day, for the opportunity you've given us to gather together in whatever way possible. I just thank you, God, for the resilience and the perseverance of Emmanuel Baptist Church as we've gone through these difficult times. Lord, I pray that as we read about and discuss the tribulation today and the end times, that truly each and every person who can hear these words is ready. And by ready, I mean, Lord, truly that they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they know that he is the risen Son of God and that he lives today at the right hand of God in heaven. I pray, Lord, that each one of us here know you and that we are prepared to follow you in whatever way that truly, Lord, that we can. And I just thank you, Jesus, for your love for us, that you came to die for us so that we might have the hope of eternity in heaven. I thank you for all these things, and I pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. One more thing I forgot to announce for next week. We will be having a baptism. Andy Tidwell came forward earlier in the year and just hasn't been able to get to it, and hopefully we can have it in there. So that's another thing that will be going on next week. The opening verse here that I read to you just now is at least partly why every time there is an eclipse or a blood moon, as we had several in the last few years, people tend to jump to the conclusion that that means that Jesus is on his way right now. It talks about stars falling. The stars of heaven will fall. Well, I've seen shooting stars before. I'm guessing most of you have. Stars fall all the time. And we have eclipses where the sun is darkened, and we have things where the moon is darkened. And all of these things may be signs, but also they've happened for centuries. But what this passage gives us is the indication that there's going to be a continual shower of stars. It says the powers of heaven, and that could mean that the natural order of things, like orbits of the planets and sunrises and sunsets and things like that, will be disrupted because the powers of heaven are going to be shaken. And then notice that Mark has all of this happening before what he says in verse 26. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. So the tribulation happens, and then the Son of Man comes in the clouds. And since we've been told that no one knows the day or the hour, The idea appears to be that these things that I mentioned earlier, the stars falling, the sun being darkened, and so on, is going to take place immediately before Jesus appears in the clouds. Although it's possible that these things will take place earlier and people just didn't take notice. Lots of signs of Jesus coming are taking place right now. And there are people all over the nation, all over the world, who are just ignoring those signs. It's all been going on for centuries, I know. And the signs of Jesus' return, they're all around us. And they have been for a very long time, but most people just don't pay any attention. I'm sure many of you, if you've been out shopping in the bigger stores, you may have noticed this. They have directional arrows that tell you which way you're supposed to walk down through the aisles. Yeah, they got the one that says, do not enter, and that's right where you need the one thing that's right here on the end of that aisle. And so in order to follow the rules, you got to go all the way around and come back. Be honest with me. If you've seen those signs, have you seen anyone ignoring them? Have any of you ignored them? I have, because it is easier just to reach in and get that one thing on the end of the aisle. Well, that's kind of a picture of the way that things are going when people see and hear about the signs of Jesus' return. They ignore them. They think, this can't be it. Jesus isn't coming back in my lifetime. Well, I know this. The signs of his return may be hard to discern, hard to figure out. But when he actually returns, there's going to be no doubt. He's going to appear in the clouds with great power and glory, and everybody will know that Jesus has returned. Verse 27, then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. I've got this picture in my mind, and it comes from Scripture, because when the rich man and Lazarus died, we're told that the angels took him and carried him into the bosom of Abraham. So I have this picture in my mind of people who are who have passed away being escorted into heaven by the angels. And right here it says that when the last day comes, the picture is going to be the same. From the four winds, which is north, south, east, and west, his elect will be gathered from the farthest reaches of the earth. Well, that word elect is something that causes quite a bit of controversy or disagreement among people. God's elect or God's chosen. Jesus said in John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. So part of the controversy is, if Jesus chooses us, then we really don't have a choice, do we? I think we do, but I will always maintain this. And until somebody convinces me otherwise, it's what I'm going to believe. I believe that Jesus chose all of us. He chose every human on the face of the earth. But we return the favor by accepting him and by choosing him. I know that not everybody agrees with me, but that's just that's what I think it means. Other people think it means that from the beginning of time, God picked out those who would be saved and those who would not. In any case, only those who have chosen to be Christ followers, the elect, will be taken up to the farthest part of heaven. The Bible speaks of the third heaven in Paul's writings to the Corinthian church. And since there is a third heaven, that means there's two others, right? And most Bible scholars agree on this. The first heaven is our own atmosphere. We speak about the heavens. That's what we talk about. The second heaven is the universe. All the suns and the moons and the stars and the planets scattered throughout the universe is the second heaven. The third heaven, the farthest part of heaven, is the home of God, the dwelling place of God, where believers will be escorted into by the angels, either on the last day or on our last day. So heaven, thankfully, praise God, is pretty much the end of the story for believers. We'll spend eternity there in heaven. But the question here is, how are we going to know that it's near? Well, let's look at part two, Mark chapter 13, verses 28 through 37. Jesus' words again. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near. It is at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Well, as he's done so often throughout Scripture, and really throughout the book of Mark, and so many, all throughout Scripture, Jesus is teaching in a parable. And in many ways, it's like this. What do you consider to be the sign that spring is coming? I always look forward to spring, so it's my favorite thing, and I like to look for signs. If we had no calendars, if we had no way of being informed what day it is, how would we know that winter was almost over? I know some people say when I see the first robin. I think I saw the first robin in February this time. The first dandelion, maybe that's what it is. The first flowers blooming. Even if we had absolutely no idea what day it was, and quite frankly, here in the last couple of months, every day kind of seems the same. But if we had no idea what day it was, how would we know that spring was coming? There are signs all around us. In verse 28, Jesus tells us that the fig tree shoots will become tender. There will be a green shoot at the end of the branches. And then the leaves begin to pop out. And by that, Jesus said, the signs are very clear that summer is nearby. Everybody knows that. Everybody also knows that just when we think it's safe to set out tomato plants, for example, there's still a pretty good possibility of frost. The point is that the signs might be there, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a done deal. So we need to watch. We need to be ready. Verse 29. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near. It is at the doors. Well, in just a couple more verses, Jesus is going to say that even he does not know the hour when this is going to happen. So what are we supposed to do when we see the signs that he's spoken of? Again, we need to be ready. Remember that Jesus is sitting here on the Mount of Olives. This is called the Olivet Discourse. And he's speaking at the very least to his 12 disciples, although it's likely there were other people who were listening. The message for them was this, be ready. The message for us, likewise, is be ready. I don't know if you ever heard of John Wycliffe. He was the first man really to translate the Bible into English so that people could read it in their native language. And he did this back in the 1300s. And he also did it at great risk to his life because the church did not want people to be able to read the Bible themselves. And so he translated this into English, knowing that he could even be put to death as a result. But in the 1300s, when he translated Mark chapter 13, the message then was be ready. Of course, there's been a lot of translations since that time, starting with the King James Version all the way up to the New Living and the Message and different things like that. But the message of Mark 13 is still this, be ready. I mentioned fire drills the last time I was up here. And of course, you know, we have earthquake drills and tornado drills and intruder drills. And the reason why we did those, the reason why we have little posters hanging on the wall to show you where to go in the event of those things is so that we can be prepared if it ever becomes a necessity, if any of those things ever happen. Well, consider all the signs that we have seen in the past, the signs like the sun darkening and the moon turning red and different things like that, consider those as drills so that we could be prepared when the necessity, when the real thing comes. And the big difference between all these drills that they do in school, like fire drills, is just this. You can have 100 fire drills and maybe there will never be a fire. But I guarantee you this, Jesus is coming back and we have got to be ready. We've got to make sure not just that we're ready, but that all people that we know are also ready. Ready or not, he's coming back. Verse 30, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Well, that's confusing. The generation he was speaking to nearly 2,000 years ago, they've all passed away. So what's he talking about? Well, as with so many of these verses, there are many interpretations. In 2020, when we talk about a generation, we might be talking about the greatest generation, those who lived through the Depression and the Second World War. Today, we might be talking about millennials or Generation X, Y, or Z, or whatever they're up to now. For Jesus, he could have meant that of those living that day, some of them would still be alive when those things took place. And a lot of commentators believe that when he said this generation, he was talking about the nation of Israel. And for many, many centuries, there was no Israel until a little over 70 years ago when my favorite president, Harry Truman, helped to orchestrate that so that there is now a nation of Israel. Well, some commentators don't think that it means Israel. Some, just because some do, doesn't mean that it's true. And the point here is, again, we don't know what Jesus meant by saying this generation will not pass away. But another take on this is that these things did take place when Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. I don't know. And I don't think that we're supposed to understand it completely. But the real message for us is found in verse 31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Well, if you don't know my favorite verse by now, I guess you never will. My favorite verse is Isaiah 40, verse 8, which says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but my words, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. I really don't remember when I first came across that verse or why it had such an impact on me. But what it says to me each and every time that I hear it spoken or when I read it is this. Everything on earth is temporary. Grass and flowers are temporary. Winter and summer is temporary. Coronavirus, temporary. Life is temporary. The only thing that we can be absolutely assured forever of is this. God's word will never be altered. It will never change. It stands forever. And Jesus said here, my words shall by no means pass away. And that's really what we need to focus on. His words are forever. Verse 32, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. I said something the last time I was up here that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are omniscient, all-knowing. Well, this is the exception, I guess. At least as long as he stood on this earth, the Son, Jesus, did not know when he would be returning to earth to claim his people. And ever since the day that he ascended, he's been ready, waiting for the order from his Father to come back and collect his the believers. Well, I think this, if he had known, if Jesus had known the day, and if he were to say something like, I'm coming back on June the 1st of 2020, that's tomorrow, folks. If he'd have said that, most people would have just been relaxed, would have lived their lives like they wanted to until June the 1st. And maybe even until 11:59 tonight, they would have just continued to live like they've always lived. And at 11:59, they think, okay, it's time to get myself right with God. And that's not the way that God wanted it done. The primary point And Jesus telling us all about this is found in verse 33. Again, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. And since we don't know the day, we need to take heed. We need to be alert. We need to be ready, ready or not. Even if Jesus doesn't come back for 10,000 years, we still need to take heed. We still need to watch and pray because we don't know when our own time is. Death has certainly not taken a holiday during the crisis that we're in. Funerals may not be like they used to be, but deaths are still happening, like it or not. Even though we don't know when the time is, the time is coming. Either Jesus will return to claim his people, or death will come to each and every one of us at some point. Take heed, watch, and pray. In the last part of this, Jesus tells another parable about a man who went away for a time and left his servants in charge. And he gave them a commandment to watch, to be prepared, so they should be ready at all times for their master to come back. They didn't want to be found slacking in their duties or asleep when the master returned, whether it was in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows in the morning. Likewise, we don't know the hour, so be ready. And then Jesus ends this passage, and we end the book of Mark with this in verse 37. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Ready or not, here he comes. I know that ready or not comes from the game of hide and seek, and in the actual game, once somebody who is hiding has been found, the seeker says something like, ollie, ollie, oxen free. You ever heard that? Which means that all those who are out there can now come in free with no penalty. That's the game. But in reality, when Jesus comes back, ready or not, you don't get in free. You only get in if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have accepted him as your Savior, and have done your very best to follow him throughout your life. That's the only way to gain eternity in heaven. We have to be ready. And I pray that each and every one of you are, but I also pray that if you're not, you don't wait till 11:59 to make a decision. Now is the time to make a decision to follow Christ. And then you can be assured that no matter what happens or when it happens, we will spend eternity in the farthest reaches of heaven with Jesus Christ, our Savior, Father God, and the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you all know that. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Father God, I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity once again to gather together. And God, as my time draws to a close here, each of these times becomes even more precious. And Lord, I pray, knowing that my time has almost come, that there is not one single person here, one single person in this church who has not accepted you as Lord and Savior. And if they have not, God, I pray that you give them the boldness to step out even now and even in this way. Lord, I just pray, knowing that someday Jesus is coming for us, and I pray that we're ready. Whether we've been ready for years and years or whether we just became ready today, help us, God, to truly be ready to meet you face to face. I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.